Welcome to the Positive Personal Power Podcast. The hardcore tools to succeed. Announcing phase two of the internationally acclaimed Positive Personal Power Podcast. 10 unique one-hour webcasts on pillars of success and philosophies of life to achieve success. And all the tools that you need. Following on the heels of the internationally acclaimed first series of the Positive Personal Power Podcast that showcased interviews and collaborations with internationally recognized luminaries and public figures in business, academia, sport, and publishing, your host, Nathaniel Skula, in collaboration with Stephen J. Manning, share their lessons, the hardcore tools, the path, and the motivation to succeed that are indispensable to all, those already on their way and those who desire to be, and much more from these two internationally recognized authorities. Nat is a best-selling author of 5 books, an entrepreneur, a forward-thinking podcast host, and well-known thought leader. His collaborator, Stephen J. Manning, is an internationally known business leader, author, public speaker, columnist, and advisor, and a renowned raconteur. He has tens of billions of dollars in commerce in his portfolio, including having taken a small bankrupt business to one of the most successful billion-dollar enterprises in the U.S. Their brand of Uber inspirational delivery is enormously effective, as informative as it is challenging, highly educational, and motivating for their engaged audiences. Subscribe using your favorite podcasting app to get access to these amazing 10 episodes, which begin on the 15th of December and will run every second Thursday on all major channels and on the Legacy Media Hub YouTube channel. And now, here is your host, Nathaniel Skula.
I'm really, really privileged to be joined by Stephen J. Manning. And we share a number of passions. We share passions with athletics. We are intellectual sparring partners. We don't joust. We listen, we talk, we reflect, and we learn together. We strive for knowledge and wisdom. And finally, we seek independent thought, which is kind of rare these days. Humbly, we wish all who watch and listen to our broadcasts could be participating of our many hours together most days. We have fantastic workouts for our abilities to think and ultimately achieve. And all that is the foundation of our collaborative efforts. And if you don't know Stephen J. Manning, he is someone who approached me around 6 months ago. And we've had a fantastic kind of back and forth since we met. And we spend a considerable amount of time talking about some of the things in business that he learned along the way of building a billion-dollar enterprise in the US and also in Europe as well. So thank you so much for joining me, Stephen. I really thoroughly appreciate it.
Nat, it is entirely my pleasure. I can't do more with what you said other than to tell you publicly that my time spent with you for months now, literally a couple hours a day, developing a lot of ideas, developing our podcast, have been really enlightening and they have been challenging and certainly rewarding for me. So thank you very much for your wisdom and patience with me.
Thank you. And likewise, it's been an education, you know, and that's what we're here to do. We're here to really help people to understand what is stopping them from achieving success and achieving the kind of success that they're happy with. Because, you know, there isn't a law that says, hey, you need to be a millionaire, you need to be a billionaire. It's like, you know, or you need to do these certain things to be successful. I think it's very subjective to the people who kind of we work with and who want to improve their lives, right? So the pillars of success are a product that really helps people to kind of focus on what they want to do in life, right?
Absolutely. And again, topic of 100 hours of conversation, success means something very different to everybody and groups of people and all of that. And some people, success is just subsisting. That's not what we're going to talk about here. We're going to talk about pillars of success that we know we want to share that. One of our podcasts is devoted entirely to that. Some pillars of success. We talk much about leveraging the most important one, the language is yes. It's yes people that know the force, the business in life. It's full of wolves, yet they forge ahead courageously. Why? They do the homework. They do the liability analysis. They look at the potential, and they forge ahead courageously and mightily. And one of the things that preoccupies us is another pillar, which is people who actually consider failure an option. Do you really wake up with an idea and you consider, oh, you're probably going to fail? Well, then if you feel that way, you hope for a very big inheritance windfall. You got to give yourself a chance to succeed. And don't forget that most successful people have failed often and spectacularly. What they have in common is they just don't consider it, again, a failure, and they have done the homework. Something just didn't work out well. Another pillar we talk about incessantly is homework. How much homework can you do? Not enough. And then you do some more. To the point you need to become a shameless researcher. You find that you can successfully. Most people, the best of the best, are happy to help. If you don't do the homework, don't bother. You really want to get in the foxhole and get shot at without knowing what's going on? I don't think so. Business is the same. Life is the same. The next pillar of success is not as esoteric as it sounds. Outwork and outthink everybody. Really, outthink everybody. Now that's a tall order. Might as well climb that mountain. But outwork everybody. The reality is, particularly in these times of ours today around the world, it's absolutely possible to outwork pretty much most people. Hey, all of you listening and watching this, you're listening and talking to people who outwork pretty much everybody we know. I think those are certainly my four pillars of success, which we love to share.
Yeah. So this series is going to be very, very interesting because we're also going to dig into philosophies of life, right? And how those philosophies of life fit into success and happiness, right?
Absolutely. And I think that if you don't have a philosophy in life, and it's not supposed to be a hardy idea, but if you don't have a concept of how you want to live your life, you're just sort of running around in a brook, you know? And you and I agree on so much of this, it's kind of remarkable. My philosophies of life, which I'd like to talk more about in one of the upcoming episodes, and this is, if you can imagine, I have a little teleprompter right here. And they're always in front of me, my imaginary teleprompter. One, life is not a dress rehearsal. Remember, this is the big show. We're doing this now. We're not going to do it again. We are not going to do it again. The whole thing, and this is really the crux of the matter, all the soft stuff. Well, you know, I just wanted to do this. I want to do that. Someday I will do that. One day I'm going to go there. I want to meet that guy someday. All that stuff, soft stuff. You're going to end up with Swiss cheese without the cheese. Now, of course, it wouldn't be me if I didn't quote Oscar Wilde. To live is the rarest thing in the world. Most people exist. That's it. Number two, life without passion is not life worth living. To be clear, you are listening to two guys who want to sleep at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning before we just did this. Why? Because we're passionate about a project that we're working on together. Imagine waking up in the morning yawning because not because you're sleepy, because you're bored. Nothing to be excited about. Does not work. I feel this. I don't associate with people who have no passions. I literally don't do business with people who just not passionate about the work. It's great, isn't it, to work with someone who's passionate about this stuff? Why on earth are you and I up at 4 and 5 in the morning? We work 9 hours apart. So what? It's not like we schedule around time zones. Next, seek wisdom and knowledge everywhere, all the time, from everyone. Knowledge is everywhere. All you can do is reach it out. Now, the reality is that it's highly unlikely that you and I are going to develop a cure for cancer or some other disease. That means that when we research, do the work, we're going to end up with testable hypotheses. What does that mean? ask the next question, and the next, and the next, and the next. Four, and this is an absolute for me. Inventory your knowledge every day. At the end of the day, think about the two or three things you've learned that day or became crystallized to you. Now, that is an inventory that's priceless. If you don't do that, you have wasted the day. And then, you know, kind of a, I can't resist a little Shakespearean thing, but life is really an exhaustively scripted tragic comedy, you know? The thing about life, and this is where we started a moment ago, one must find their part in life. Then they got to script it. Then they got to direct it. And they got to live it. Those are the five pillars of philosophies of life that you and I want to talk about and talk about quite extensively.
Yeah. And you know, I was saying that about to someone today, actually, about, you know, having this attitude of, well, I'll do that someday is like, I mean, we've all heard what Anthony Robbins says about someday leading to nowhere. And in that respect, he's completely correct, right? So as far as opportunities are concerned, opportunities come that, you know, from learning and preparing for the opportunities. Like you don't just wake up one morning and get a job of your dreams without preparing for that, right? And this goes for career changers. It goes for people who are starting a business. You've got to learn about these things. And that's where what you just said about research is super important. So onto the next sort of topic with regards to opportunities. You talk about how an industry was born out of an idea destined to fail, which I find quite interesting. What is that?
The basic premise, of course, opportunities. You can't ignore opportunities that come your way. And the whole thing about, gee, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Of course you look a gift horse in the mouth. If you don't, you end up with a horse, very bad teeth, and very expensive. However, to ignore opportunities is foolish. The whole thing about opportunities are right around the corner. What corner? When? You need to look for, and you need to be able to identify when they show up, when they're in your face. They're not going to knock on your door, but they may be in sight. And if you're not going to exploit them, well, you know, what are you going to do? Go, get in the backyard, clench your fist, and wish for success, wish to be taller, wish to be richer. Oh, gee, maybe the lawn will mow itself. The topic specific, and we devote a good hour on this, if not more, how an industry was born out of an idea destined to fail. Every single idea that you have, whether it's folly, whether it's a dream, no matter what anybody else has to say about it, it's worth some thought. It's worth a two-line email to a couple of people willing to help you. That is, well, interesting enough, I've had a couple of those ideas that were absolutely destined to fail. And then they became an entire industry. Why? Because they were worth a couple of emails, they're worth some telephone calls, and they're worth a day or two or three of, gee, maybe this isn't a folly. Maybe this is just a silly dream. And then all of a sudden there's buildings in many countries and a lot of people gainfully employed. And you look back and say, man, I was about to drop that because I figured I was a failure. There's a gift horse that I elected not to look in the mouth. And guess what? As I say, the highlight of that, of course, is when you have buildings in many, many countries. And more importantly, you have a whole lot of people that are gainfully employed and you have families and who benefiting from what? From that silly, dumb idea that I had. And I didn't abandon it. I spent the hours. So you know what? Create an industry out of a silly situation because my mommy called and asked me for a favor for somebody and it became an industry. Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Of course you look a gift horse in the mouth. Just be careful what you see.
Yeah, okay. And you've got to do the work, right? If you see the opportunity, you've got to do the work, haven't you, at the end of the day? And without doing that work, you can wish yourself to whatever you want, right? So, you know, we spoke a bit about the lazy man's way to riches. So we're gonna have an insightful, entertaining hour on the lazy man's way to riches and R. Abrams, the janitor and creative genius, which I found both of those just fantastic stories when we were sort of talking about them. So would you like to just share a little bit about those before we move on to the next point?
Thank you. It's two stories that are very different. One of them, Lazy Man's Way to Riches, this man I knew decided to write a book. Now, in my opinion, he was about as likely to write a good book as I was to leap a very tall building. That said, he created something called Lazy Man's Way to Riches. Might be dollar for dollar the most successful book I've ever run across. And it's an amazing lesson on exploiting that one silly idea. Arthur Abrams, the janitor, he was the head janitor of a big company I ran at the time, who shared with me that he was kind of illiterate, having been a janitor for 40 years. He might have been in his 60s. And one day he walked to my office at 10 in the morning, as he always did. And, hey, Art, how you doing? And the response was always the same. Hey, I'm just making a clean slate of things. And then I'll have a good day on the way out. And this is exactly 10 o'clock every day, 10 o'clock. On the way out, he turned around and said, you know, I saw something you guys, meaning the company worked for, all 5,000 of us, you guys are doing. Will you explain to me why we do that? Seems dumb to me. About one day later, Art was a creative manager, an R&D stalwart who traveled the country with us from meeting to meeting. And it's, again, you've got to recognize what talent is, in the engine that makes your company work. It's most unusual. Oh, by the way, he had the same exact subtitle as did our chairman, VP GM, and six other VPs in the company, and me. We were all creative directors. So was Art, who reminded me, oh, by the way, he did wear his uniform to all the meetings. I think he enjoyed that. But he reminded me every meeting, says, you know, Steve, I can now read and write, but not that well. Okay. Meanwhile, he had the same exact budget as I did and my bosses did. Art the janitor makes a great story, and I'm glad to tell you how that actually happens, how that unfolds. Again, recognize talent in the company, because there's a lot of people who make that thing run, not you. You may guide it, you may lead it, but other people may run it. That's something else that you and I talk about quite at length. And again, having been around long enough companies, I can relate some of those stories. And I think they make for, humbly, they make for very, very insightful life lessons to business folks that are tuning into us.
Very much so, very much so. And we're gonna get clear on absolutely clear on what leadership really is. This is not your father's leadership versus management kind of shallow stuff. And we're gonna kind of really dig deeper into that, aren't we?
Absolutely. again, this comes across kind of tough, but you have two choices here. Listening to us, watching us. You can go buy one of the 20,000 books written on leadership versus management. And you've seen those. You can find 1.7 million articles online about leadership versus management. Nat hit that on the button. What we talk about is not your father's leadership versus management. How close have I come up to defining leadership? I wrote a piece entitled 72 Things a Leader Is Not. Now, I pretty much know what a leader is not. What a leader is, well, that's a matter of wonderful, wonderful discourse. Agreement, disagreement with my collaborator, Nat, and everybody I run into wants to talk about leadership. Massive topic. You want to be successful? Figure out how you lead.
It's huge. It's huge. So, and we're going to cover a huge amount more as well. And this is a truly amazing endeavor for us. A genuine learning experience, and that we know has led to terrific teaching opportunities that we're going to share in this series. So we hope you're going to join us, and thank you so much, Stephen. We're looking forward to hearing lots of positive feedback around this. I appreciate it very much.
I thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Positive Personal Power Podcast. Subscribe using your favorite podcasting app to get access to these amazing 10 episodes, which begin on the 15th of December and will run every second Thursday on all major channels and on the Legacy Media Hub YouTube channel.